There it goes. Can you hear me? The last time I preached on a Sunday night, before we started, Dwayne came up to me and said, you must be the preacher tonight. And I said, well, how would you know? He said, we're the only one here with a coat and tie on. So tonight, because of the topic and because of his comments, where is Dwayne? Is he here tonight? There he is. Because of his comment, I decided, well, I'm going to dress it down a little bit. I'm going to try to get a little bit comfortable, be a little more relaxed, have a little bit more fun, okay? And I am fun all the way down to striped and polka-dotted socks, okay? And that's just for tonight. I won't do that again. I had also promised him that the topic of my next sermon was going to be Temples Don't Have Steeples. Well, that's not what we're going to talk about tonight. That is another sermon I have been working on, and that will be done the next time around, and I promise I'll do that one then, Dwayne. I mentioned that to several people, and they were like, temples don't have steeples. But anyway, we'll talk about that next time. My kids and my wife have often told me that I have a very stern look about myself. And I do. I get it from my father. I always thought the same thing of my father. My father was very stern. He was very strict. Grew up in a very strict household. I was the youngest of four children, and grew up in a household where we were taught children are to be seen and not heard. How many of y'all grew up in a household like that? That's not the norm today. I don't know whether it was a societal thing for that age group of people. I would probably subscribe to the same theory a lot, but I've been overridden quite a bit. I had three sons. It wasn't quiet much. But at any rate, it was just something that, you know, I grew up in. And as I said, my dad was very strict. His concept of fun has affected me a lot, because his concept of fun was, oh, the car needs to be worked on. Oh, the car needs to be washed. Oh, we need to do some repairs on the house. We need to repair an appliance. And he was a do-it-yourselfer, and he said, okay, these are the things we're going to do, and this is going to be our weekend for fun. Okay? So as a result of that, fun wasn't really something I knew well as a child, okay, and even up through high school. Dad was military. He got 30 days of paid vacation a year, so we took that, and those 30 days were taken in this manner. We spent 2 weeks in West Virginia visiting my mother's family on my grandfather's farm, and we spent 2 weeks visiting my father's family on my father's parents' farm, okay? So any other time we had left over, we spent traveling from place to place. And usually it was between duty stations, so we were moving. But at any rate, I remember distinctly one time we got to my mother's father's farm, and it was probably about 6 o'clock in the evening, 7 o'clock in the evening when we got there, and my dad was all giddy about being on a farm again and being able to get out there and do some stuff on the farm, and he said, well, Granddad, what are we going to be doing this, you know, tomorrow and the next couple days? He goes, well, we're going to be putting up hay. We're baling hay and we're putting it up in the barns for the winter. And y'all can help us some with that. And with that, Granddad went to bed. After, he said, we'll see y'all at 5 a.m. This was my parents' concept of vacation. Okay? This was their concept of how we were going to go and have fun, because it introduced us to another way of life. We didn't grow up on a farm. So, needless to say, my dad did not do fun well, okay? And it passed down to me. I typically don't do fun well, okay? I don't care for groups of more than two. If you get me in a group of more than two people, I'm probably going to get really uncomfortable. Maybe four, okay? So, parties are not my thing. They never were. That didn't work out well for me, okay? And that's just kind of the way I was raised. Although my dad was very social, but when it came to us kids, we didn't do fun well. When I was very young, probably first grade or so, I discovered music. I discovered singing. And the way I discovered it was when The Sound of Music came out in 1965. And my parents took us to see that movie. That was one truly fun things that we did when I was very young. We went to see The Sound of Music, and they bought the album. This was back when you had, you know, the big stereo that took up half of the living room, and you put the album on there, and you put it on there, you put the needle on it, and it played. My parents still had that when they died about 7 or 8 years ago, and they were like, who's going to get the stereo? And we were all like, we don't want that monstrosity. But at any rate, I would put records on and I would play them. And that was the one thing that people could not take away from me that I truly enjoyed, that I truly had fun doing, singing. And even though sometimes I wasn't allowed to sing out loud, I could actually sing the songs in my head. People could not take that away from me. And I enjoyed that. When I was in sixth grade, I was in my first musical, Finian's Rainbow. We were stationed at Ramey Air Force Base in Puerto Rico. The high school did Finian's Rainbow. I was sixth grade. They needed some kids. I was a kid. I liked to sing. Went and did Finian's Rainbow. In junior high, high school, and college, I did chorus. I did other things that did help me to be able to go and sing and do things like that and to enjoy myself in doing that. And that was my concept of fun. And there were other musicals that came out. The Unsinkable Molly Brown. You had Hello, Dolly. I have a list of them here. Let's see if I can find them in my notes. The Music Man, The King and I, The Fantastics. How many of y'all have ever seen The Fantastics? It's an amazing play. It's an excellent play. The music is just great. Anyway, Mary Poppins was another one that my parents had the album for. That's a children's show, movie, but they had that album, and we would play that. And I knew the words to all the songs on all these albums. But music kind of became my life, and being able to sing and do those kind of things and doing some acting. I did that all the way through college and just had a really good time with it. That was my enjoyment. But, you know, over the last 10 to 15 years, musical movies that have come out have taken rock and roll music from a particular band for that show, and then they've tried to work a story around it. And I didn't find those musicals very exciting and very much fun because it was just this old music. There wasn't new music. So anyway, I'd kind of become a little bit, I don't know, just not really excited about musicals too much. Well, in December, Twyla said around Christmas time, the kids weren't, I don't think we're going to be home much. And so she said, hey, this new musical's coming out, The Greatest Showman. Let's go see it. And I was skeptical. Why would we want to go see a musical? It's just going to be some old music that, you know, from the 80s and or 90s and rock music, and I really don't want to go see it. But we did. We went to see it. And it's for those of you who haven't seen it, I'll try not to spoil anything for you. Well, actually, I'm going to spoil it all for you. So anyway, the musical is loosely based on the life of Phineas T. Barnum, who is P.T. Barnum of the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus fame. Now, the circus ended last year. They will no longer be doing the circus. How many of y'all ever got to go see Ringling Brothers? For those of you in that generation that will not get to see that, I am so sorry. Because it's just a lot of fun, right? And there's nothing wrong with good, clean fun. So anyway, Twyla and I go see the movie. And the opening scene is a rousing song entitled The Greatest Show. And it starts with, whoa, ladies and gents, this is the moment you've waited for. Whoa, been searching in the dark, your sweat soaking through the floor. And buried in your bones, there's an ache that you can't ignore. Taking your breath, stealing your mind, and all that was real is left behind. How many of y'all have seen it? It's a lot of fun, isn't it? At that moment, you know, I am about to be entertained. Unless you're stodgy old David Bedgood sitting in your seat thinking, ah, the jury's still out. We'll see. But you are. It turns out to be a pretty good movie. It turns out to be a pretty good musical. The music is exciting throughout the play. It's got a good beat and tempo to it. Twyla actually went later after she and I had seen it with some of her friends, lady friends here at church. And when she came home, she said, I want to go buy the CD. And I said, okay, go buy the CD. Now, I wasn't that enamored with it after sitting through the movie. But one day, she has the CD in the car. Hartley, my granddaughter, who just turned 5, is in the back seat. And I'm driving. Twyla's next to me in the front. And she knows we have this CD. And she says, play this song, Come Alive. play the song Come Alive. And I was like, so Twyla puts it in. She starts playing it. And it is good music. It's a lot of fun music. And you know, when you're in a car, no one can see from outside your car what you're doing in your car. Right? Everyone shake your head up and down. No one can see you. Hartley and Twyla and I have this thing where we car dance. Don't tell anyone. Okay? But when it's good music, we're going down the road just dancing away with our hands and bobbing our heads. How many of y'all have driven up next to someone else and they're bobbing their head? Okay. We have car dancing in our house, or in our car, actually. And so we were just singing along, turned the music up, and we played it. And I told Twyla, I said, I want to borrow that CD for a little while and listen to it. So I did, and I put it in my truck. And then ultimately I copied the songs over to my iPhone, and so I can sit at work and have them in my ear and listen to music. I don't just listen to that CD. But anyway, I've listened to a lot of the music. And as when you listen to it in the movie theater, you really don't get all the words. You don't get to hear everything. But if you get the music on a CD and you get it to where you can turn it up and hear some of the things, as I listened to these, I kept hearing biblical principles coming into my mind while the songs were playing and I was listening to the lyrics. So tonight, what you're going to have is biblical lessons from the lyrics of The Greatest Showman. And I'm going to start tonight with one of those. And that's the song A Million Dreams. This is early on in his life as a child. And understand this, there's a lot of stuff in this movie that's fictional. There's a lot of things in here that were not true about him. For you ladies who, this is going to disappoint you a lot, Philip Carlyle did not exist. Okay? So those of you who are enamored with him, he's a fictional character. Some of the things that happened in the movie with Jenny Lind, the famous opera singer, the bad things that they say, those really did an injustice to her because those things never happened in real life. Okay? So, but for the sake of entertainment, we have this movie. Anyway, the first song I want to talk about tonight is called A Million Dreams, and I'm not going to sing all these songs to you, okay? That would probably not be a good idea. But I will read some of the lyrics, not all of the lyrics to all of them. But on A Million Dreams, the young P.T. Barnum, as a child, sings, I close my eyes and I can see the world that's waiting up for me that I call my own. Through the dark, through the door, through where no one's seen before, but it feels like home. They can say it all sounds crazy. They can say I've lost my mind. I don't care. So call me crazy. We can live in a world that we design. Because every night I lie in bed, the brightest colors fill my head. A million dreams are keeping me awake. I think of what the world could be, a vision of the one I see. A million dreams is all it's going to take. A million dreams for the world we're going to make. Now, P.T. Barnum was human. And I don't want you to leave tonight saying that I've equated P.T. Barnum with God. But I'm going to say some things in a few minutes because P.T. Barnum was trying to create a world, not a real world, but a world of his own design, a theater of his own design, and an entertainment industry of his own design, and a way of supporting his family. And he did it for the purpose of supporting his family because he had come from very humble beginnings. His father was a tailor in the movie. And so, at any rate, what you have here is a man with a plan, with a design, and he puts it into play. And when I think about this song, I think about God before the beginning of time in the darkness. What did God do? I don't know how long God planned this. I don't know the mind of God. And there wasn't time at that point in time, was there? You just had God. But there is design in the world, in our universe, in our beings, in life. P.T. Barnum had to work at it. God thought it, and said it. And the world was. God thought it and said it, and plants were created. God thought it and said it, and animals were created. God thought it and said it, man was created. God breathed it, and we had life. So when I think about this song, I don't know whether God had a million dreams, but I know he planned. I know he worked at it somehow. And I know that he worked at it because he says on the seventh day, he had to rest. There was some effort that took for him to do what he did. So he had to rest. And he did rest on the seventh day. But that's what I think of when I think of this song. So when you're thinking, listening to the music again, possibly as you're listening to the secular music, try to think of some godly things, which is God and creation. The next song I want to talk about is Come Alive. This is a really lively song. The first one is more of a waltz almost. This one is a lively song. It's got a lot of good music to it. It's got a good beat to it, a good tempo. But what this song is about is when P.T. Barnum is trying to seek out what they called his oddities. Okay? The bearded lady, the giant man, the midget, which in real life was actually a relative of P.T. Barnum's, who was a child. He was not an adult. He just had an adult look about him. So he's trying to get these people who are a little bit different, a little bit odd. We're talking about the Siamese twins. Bearded lady, Siamese twins. I mean, there was just a number of things that he was trying to create this museum around. And it was a museum of humans as well as others that were different from others. And anyway, a lot of these people were living in obscurity and living in hiding because they were mocked and they were persecuted. And so the song goes like this at the beginning of it. You stumble through your days, got your head hung low. Your sky's a shade of gray, like a zombie in a maze. You're asleep inside, but you can shake awake. Because you're just a dead man walking, thinking that's your only option. But you can flip the switch and brighten up your darkest day. The sun is up and the color's blinding. Take a world and redefine it. Leave behind your narrow mind. You will never be the same. Where my mind went to when I thought about this portion of this song is that in Ephesians 2, and I'm going to read this. I'm not going to quote a lot of scripture tonight or read a lot of scripture, but I am going to read this one. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By Christ you have been saved and raised up with him and he seated us with him in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Dead. We were dead before we were Christians. We're alive now in Christ. We have the opportunities to see the light and be the light in Christ. The song goes on to sing, come alive, come alive. Go and let your light, let it burn so bright. reaching up to the sky and it's open wide. You're electrified. On this one, I think of Matthew 4, 14 through 16. You are the light of the world, a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So you can come out of death. You can come out of darkness. You can come out of being nothing. You can come out from being ashamed of what you are into Christ and be the light and reflect his light to others. I think it's an interesting concept to take this and apply it to your lives and see how we can no longer be dead. Next, the song reads, and the world becomes a fantasy, and you're more than you could ever be because you're dreaming with your eyes wide open. And you know you can't go back again to the world that you were living in because you're dreaming with your eyes wide open. So come alive. This concept of dreaming with your eyes wide open is something that really grabbed a hold of me and made me think about, what is he talking about? What is that he means that you're dreaming with your eyes wide open? And of course, there's a lot of talk in this movie about dreaming and coming alive and being a light. But the whole thought of dreaming with your eyes wide open. And so I got to thinking about this, and I go back to Ephesians chapter 2. It talks about you're saved by grace through faith. And our definition for faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Is dreaming with your eyes wide open very similar to faith? Is it the same as faith? But the concept of faith to me here is someone who's got as he's got it in the song, someone who's taken their dream. And although they can't realize it immediately, they hold on to it. And they dream with their eyes wide open. And they have the assurance of the thing that they're hoped for, or that they've hoped for, with the evidence of the things that are not seen. Dream with your eyes wide open and come alive. The other side. At first, this is one of the songs I really didn't care for that much, but this is where P.T. Barnum is negotiating or making an offer to the fictional character, Philip Carlyle, for him to invest in his company or to participate in his company. Now, Philip Carlyle was the son of a wealthy aristocrats in New York and in the movie, because he didn't exist. So he's brought into the movie for other reasons, but they want to get P.T. Barnum wants him to get him to invest into this company, and the whole song starts out with a negotiation. P.T. Barnum puts the offer out. Here's how it goes: right here, right now, I put the offer out. I don't want to chase you down. I know you see it. You run with me, and I can cut you free. Similar to Come Alive, he's talking about cutting you free from the pangs of death or pangs of what you're involved in. He tells him in his arguments of this song about how his life of wealth and aristocracy has created in him a sense of just numbness, where he can come out and he can actually enjoy himself and have fun. And that's part of what he's talking about here. And so it's kind of similar in that regard to the song Come Alive. But at one point, Mr. Carlyle responds to him in this way. Now that seems like a deal worth taking. P.T. Barnum quietly responds to him. But I guess I'll leave that up to you. In other words, P.T. Barnum put the offer out. He made all the arguments as to why he should and do what P.T. Barnum wants him to do. Mr. Carlyle made all the arguments why he shouldn't, because he would lose his family. He would lose his standing in the community. But there was something that Barnum said that made him look at it and say, well, that does seem like a deal worth taking. P.T. Barnum doesn't force him. He simply says, well, I'll leave that up to you. And then they negotiate the price. In a very similar way, we as Christians have the gospel. And it's put out. We're supposed to be spreading that gospel. So as we start spreading that gospel, it kind of reminds me of the limited commission when Christ sent the apostles out. And he told them to go to the houses and the communities and to teach about Christ and what he has to offer for them. And if they won't listen, shake the dust from your feet. So in essence, what Christ said was, tell them what I'm offering, but I'll leave that up to them. As Christians, we share God's word. We tell people about Christ. We tell people about the benefits of Christ. We tell people about what they have and what they can have in Christ. And they have the option of accepting or rejecting it. Now, there's no negotiating as to price. Because what Christ offers is everything. Eternal life. No, it's not everything physical. But he offers eternal life. And the price, the only price that we have to pay on it, is our hearts. Because that's all God and Christ asks for, is our heart. Once he has the heart, everything else will fall into place, won't it? Another song that this one I did not like at all until I listened to the words. And then I still really don't like the words. And I'm going to read a lot of this song. This is a song that is sung by a lady by the name of Jenny Lind. Jenny Lind was not a fictional character. And this is actually the same person who the Jenny Lind bedroom furniture, you can buy a baby bed that's the Jenny Lind spool. And that she was actually involved in the design and manufacture of that type of furniture. She was the selling point. P.T. Barnum became smitten with her. She was a Danish opera singer from humble beginnings. She was an illegitimate child, actually, and that's true. And she managed to become the most famous opera singer in all of Europe. And Barnum heard her, or met her, when he was on a trip to England. He goes up to her and says, I understand you're the most famous opera singer in Europe. And she says, yes. And he says, well, I will make you the most famous opera singer in the world. And he convinces her to come to the United States, and she sings in New York. But the song that she sings is called Never Enough. And it goes like this, the words do. I'm trying to hold my breath, let it stay this way. Can't let this moment end. You set off a dream in me, getting louder now. Can you hear it echoing? Take my hand. Will you share this with me? Because, darling, without you, all the shine of a thousand spotlights, all the stars we steal from the night sky will never be enough. Now, she was also in the movie, and historically and factually, this never happened. She was infatuated in the movie with P.T. Barnum, and she actually, in the movie, wanted P.T. Barnum and was willing to do anything to have P.T. Barnum as her own. And this is why it does a disservice to her, because that's not true. Those things never happened in real life. But it's good storytelling. So the song goes on and on and on and on with some lyrics that I didn't particularly care for. But it goes on with this. Never be enough. Never be enough for me. Never, 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 never for me, never enough, never, 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 never enough, never, never, never enough for me, for me, for me. Now, just saying it is irritating, isn't it? But hear it being sung in an operatic voice is even more irritating. But it made some points. How many of y'all have ever known anyone like this? Someone who has, you can raise your hands if you want, because we're not going to identify them. But you know someone. It's never enough. They've never got enough money. They've never got a big enough house. They've never got enough of a car. It's not the car they want. They get the car they want. They don't want that car. They don't have enough kids. They don't have kids. They want kids. There's things we don't control. But for some people, there's never enough. Now, here's the harder question. You don't have to raise your hands on this. How many of you have been that person? Or are that person? It's never enough. I want more. More, more, more. For me, for me, for me. That is the harder question. Because in some respects, all of us are that way from time to time. And you can't say, I'm never that way. Because there are times when we want more. At any rate, in the movie, they embark on a tour after she sings in New York. And in the movie, she spurns his advances, or he spurns her advances. And he leaves the tour. And as a result of that, she refuses to continue the tour. And she actually kisses him on stage where pictures are taken, which are then placed in the newspapers around the country. His wife leaves him because in the movie, in reality, she never left him. In the movie, she leaves him, and it's all because of greed. And I say this about her saying it's never enough because she wanted more than the spotlight. She wanted more than fame. She wanted P.T. Barnum himself. But the song is also about P.T. Barnum. Because in this movie, what they were really talking about a lot of times was that it was never enough for him. He came from very humble beginnings. His father was a tailor. He had been in and out of poorhouses as a child. And he wanted more than anything the approval of society. And he was willing to risk it all for the approval of society. He was willing to risk everything for that. And he lost sight of where he should be going and what she should be doing when it came down to this. Because it wasn't enough until he got the approval of the society that he wanted to be among. Tightrope. I thought this was an interesting song. It's actually sung by P.T. Barnum's wife, Charity. And P.T. Barnum, in reality, was quoted as saying he was the husband of the greatest woman in the world. He had great respect for his wife. He never messed around. There was never any. She never left him. Her name was Charity. But this is a song that she sings while he's gone on this trip. And it goes like this. Some people long for a life that is simple and planned, tied with a ribbon. Some people won't sail the sea because they're safer on land to follow what's written. But I'd follow you to the great unknown, off to a world we call our own. Hand in my hand, and we promised to never let go. We're walking the tightrope high in the sky. We can see the whole world down below. We're walking the tightrope. Never sure, never know how far we could fall. But it's all an adventure that comes with a breathtaking view. Walking a tightrope with you. And I thought that was a really, really interesting concept because of the fact that he did start a circus and run a circus and ran a variety show of types like this. That she made a parallel between her marriage with him and walking on a tightrope. Never knowing what was going to happen. Never knowing where it was going to lead. never knowing what was going to happen, never knowing when there would be a fall or how far they would fall. And it's an interesting concept, because isn't marriage really that way? Sometimes it's a tightrope, sometimes it's a playground. It varies from day to day, doesn't it? Varies from year to year. But the thing that struck me most in this song was that hand in my hand, and we promise to never let go. In the Bible, there's an analogy of marriage with Christ and the church and husband and wife. There are several people in the Bible who are described as walking with God. Enoch in Genesis 5:24. Noah is also described as a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Micah 6:8 says this: He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God, hand in hand. We're commanded to walk with Christ. We're commanded to walk with God. We're commanded to be with them and have them in our daily lives. And you cannot do that if everything in your life is focused on something other than God and His Word. Hand in hand with God. That means they walked with Him. They talked with Him. They prayed. Your daily life, including prayer. Is your daily life, including Him talking to you, His Scripture. If it's not, you're not walking hand in hand with God. So I thought that was an interesting concept from this song. And I think it should be our daily devotion to be hand in hand with God. From now on, this is the last song, other than the reprise of The Greatest Show, in the movie. And this comes after his fall, after he's been bankrupt, his museum has burned down, his contracts have all been broken with the theaters where Jenny Lind was supposed to sing. He's gone bankrupt and belly up. His wife has left. He's got nothing left. He's sitting in a bar, and he's thinking to himself, I saw the sun begin to dim and felt that winter wind blow cold. A man learns who is there for him when the glitter fades and the walls won't hold. Because from that rubble, what remains can only be what's true. If all was lost, there's more I gained because it led me back to you. Barnum had put his faith in things. He had put his faith in some people. He had put his faith in becoming accepted by society. He lost it all. Now, ultimately, later on in life, he regained some of that, or a lot of that. But at this point in his life, he had lost everything. He had nothing left. And it reminded me of Matthew 6:19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. When our faith is in mankind and in our possessions and in ourselves, when we put too much faith in me, then our faith is misplaced. We're walking a tightrope when we do that. The song goes on with additional words, and those go like this. From now on, these eyes will not be blinded by the lights. From now on, what's waited till tomorrow starts tonight. Tonight. Let this promise in me start like an anthem in my heart. From now on. From now on. This reminds me a bit of Acts 2. when on the day of Pentecost, when the gospel was preached for the first time, the Spirit came down on the apostles and they preached the gospel, and the people were pricked in their hearts. And they said, what must we do to be saved? The requirement was penitence, change, repent, completely change your ways. Don't do what you were doing before. Do this now. This was the point where P.T. Barnum was. He was at a point where he knew he had to change and he had to go back home to what was most important to him, his wife and children. Are we ever at a point in our lives where we put too much faith in other things and other people, in ourselves, and we fall? And in that fall, we finally see what's important: God, our families. And we make the change and we go back to that. It's the concept of penitence, repentance. It's necessary, it's required. And it should start when? In the song, he says, what waited till tomorrow starts tonight. Now, from now on. The song continues with a rousing chorus. And we will come back home, and we will come back home, home again. From now on, home again. This reminds me of the parable of the prodigal son, Matthew 15. No matter what the circumstance, no matter what we've done, no matter how far we've fallen, we can take solace in knowing that no matter what we do, we can come back home. Home again. Home again. I know that some of this may have been kind of trite and trivial. Some of it may have been taken out of context from what was meant within the songs. But I think in this world that we live in, we have got to get to a place where we find Christ and we find God and even the things that are not godly. We have got to look to God in every turn. And I think a lot of times if we will listen and pay attention and think, we can find those things. And then we can turn back to God. Going back to the song, Come Alive, P.T. Barnum makes an invitation to the oddities. Come one, come all, you hear the call to anyone who's searching for a way to break free. Christ offers you that opportunity to break free, to no longer be dead in your sins, an opportunity to walk hand in hand with Him daily, moment by moment. The negotiations are simple. He gave you everything. The offer's there. You're accepted and says one thing. It's your heart that says, I will follow you and I will walk hand in hand with you. Now, that seems like a deal worth taking. But I'll leave that up to you. Are you willing to give Him your heart and take that deal? Are you in Christ? Are you in Christ, but you've fallen away? Have you lost your focus? Is it where it should not be? If you're willing to accept His invitation and His offer, I ask you to come forward as we stand and sing.